I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
In March of 2023, the Senate unanimously passed legislation requiring the Office of the Director of National Intelligence to declassify all, I believe the exact language is, declassify any and all information related to potential links between the Wuhan Institute of Virology and the origins of COVID-19. I have some familiarity with this legislation because I wrote it. It passed the House unanimously. President Biden signed it into law under, I think, popular duress. As you may remember, well, first of all, are you familiar with this law?
Well, of course, yes.
As you may recall, it set a statutory deadline of just a couple of months later, which the Biden administration promptly ignored and blew through. When they finally did release the report, I think we've got a picture of it here that'll appear over my shoulder. It was all of 5 pages.
Yeah.
Here it is. Wait for it. 5 pages. Remember, the law says any and all information. 5 pages, heavily redacted, even the 5 pages. I think one of those pages is like a cover note or something. Yeah, here it is. The executive summary, 5 pages. This is, according to the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, this is any and all information related to COVID-19 and the Wuhan Virology Lab.
Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, speaking to a whistleblower in a congressional hearing, about we're still looking for information and all we're getting is redacted, 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 and any and all is supposed to be released. The whistleblower acknowledged it. Yeah, that's not everything. There are a lot of other things. We all know and suspect, let's put it this way, there are many more pieces of information we've yet to be provided. The swamp is that deep. And, of course, the other thing that, for right now, defies explanation that I will accept, and that is that we just allowed this week for the perjury statute against Dr. Fake to expire. If he had not been charged with perjury, as I think it was Monday this week, yeah, the 11th, then you cannot charge him with that. But there are other issues we could, and I want us to do so. And on top of that, the only possible explanation that I can see at this point, from my viewpoint, is that one of those in his top leadership has been charged criminally. Maybe he might roll over on Fauci. I would hope so. Let me put it this way. Let's say you worked for Dr. Fake and you knew all this information was not, quote, based on science and what we were doing to our nation. Our children, do not forget what we did, the harm we caused those children during that period of time. And they're still paying for it today with their education level and maybe more. And then, of course, the elderly having to die alone, no one could even go in to see them. I mean, the atrocities are numerous, far, far too numerous to begin listing. And I don't see anyone being pinned against the wall. I'm not saying for execution, but being pinned to the wall and the jail door shut on them. No, I'm not done with this story, nor should you be. Because as we've seen, and it's already happening, with the hantavirus breaking out on that cruise ship in the Canary Islands, Governor Hochul making a point, well, we're taking all precautions we can because as a leader of my state, we should. We'll be working with the federal government. In other words, we're going to be prepared when it comes to our shores. Hantavirus already exists in our nation. Mostly, 90% of the cases west of the Mississippi. It's spread by infected deer mice. You come in contact with their urine, any excretion, saliva, droppings, you could pick up the hantavirus. Not always deadly. And in fact, as I pointed out yesterday, and I want to reinforce for those of you who didn't get to hear it, for the last 20 years, documentation, 20 years, shows less than 700 dying of hantavirus in our nation. And I don't know what kind of other health conditions those 700 had, but they were a loved one for someone, and that is a shame. But again, let's repeat what Trump had said the other day. They start trying to do another lockdown, we will not comply. They want to start changing elections, extending voting period times again. No, we will not comply. But they're going to try to, in many cases, draw a relationship. Well, we had COVID, and now we got this hantavirus. By the way, they say that patient zero on the hantavirus cruise was someone on board the cruise who visited, for whatever reason, a landfill in the Canary Islands and came in contact in some fashion with either mouse deer droppings, urine, saliva, whatever. Went back to the ship. Well, when you're in a contained area like that, yes, something can spread rapidly. I'll go back to Josh Hawley and his inquisition on we want more information on COVID in a moment. But first, welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors USA. With Larry Connors USA, you're going to get news, analysis, commentary, and education. And in fact, in our next segment, I want to share with you a writing by a physician on how AI can help in the medical field and where it fails in the medical field. That'll be coming up later. But once again, back to Missouri Senator Hawley as he's talking to a whistleblower and talking about we asked, and he said, I wrote the legislation. I know what we asked for, and we have gotten nothing but redaction, redaction, redaction.
First, deliberately violated a law passed by Congress, signed by the president, that ordered them to release all information related to the Wuhan lab, number one. Number two, they then violated the law again by withholding thousands and thousands of pages that they had at the time and knew were covered by the law. Number three, the conclusions, so-called, they released to the public are false. If that is not a cover-up, I don't know what is. And if our elected officials and unelected officials, in this case, in the IC and ODNI, if they can get by with blatantly violating the statutes of this country and lying to the American people, I'm sorry, but we don't have a democracy anymore. I don't know what it is, but it's not a democracy because we, the people, aren't in charge. These people are in charge, and they're lying to us every single day.
That's a fact. Every single day, and they continue. I'm looking at a piece filed by Catherine Hetteridge, a journalist, talking about saying as early as Feb of this year, I began receiving credible reporting that the Gabbard's investigation team was being tracked and communications collected because their work was revealing, quote, uncomfortable facts. And one source alleging to Congress, the CIA allegedly illegally spied on the computer and phones belonging to the Director's Initiatives Group, along with their investigations and any contact they had with co-sponsors. A CIA spokesman said the committee acted in bad faith by subpoenaing an agency officer for testimony without notifying the CIA, despite already obtaining closed-door testimony from the individual previously. They go on to point out that all of this is dishonest political theater masquerading as congressional hearings. That is one issue with the CIA and Gabbard and what she had been doing. And of course, then you have Hawley still looking for more on the COVID explanation. We just don't know how many tentacles are out there, but we know they exist. There's a group called the New Civil Liberties Alliance, and they have a piece, and you can look it up. Go to ncalegal.org, New Civil Liberties Alliance. Just search that. The piece is titled Lies, COVID Lies, and Statistics. Talking about how COVID, using unqualified guests on legacy media spreading lies, and even qualified guests who went ahead and lied anyway. On everything from how it started, to who's at risk, to how many died of COVID, not with COVID. I don't know how we're ever going to get to the bottom of all of it, but I pray we do for the sake of our children and our children's children and so on. So President Trump is in China meeting with Premier Xi on some big talks.
You and I have known each other now for a long time. In fact, the longest relationship of our two countries that any president and president has had. And that's, to me, an honor. We've had a fantastic relationship. We've gotten along. When there were difficulties, we worked it out. I would call you and you would call me. And whenever we had a problem, people don't know, whenever we had a problem, we worked it out very quickly. We're going to have a fantastic future together. Such respect for China, the job you've done. You're a great leader. I say it to everybody. You're a great leader. So I really look very much forward to our discussion. It's a big discussion. There are those that say this is maybe the biggest summit ever. They can never remember anything like it. It's, I can say in the United States, it's people aren't talking about anything else. But it's an honor to be with you. It's an honor to be your friend. And the relationship between China and the USA is going to be better than ever before. Thank you very much.
Now, a lot of folks are saying Trump is kissing up to Xi. He is being, quote, diplomatic, cordial. And the response from Xi issuing a statement through his own agency and through his remarks as well, not directly to Trump in his face, apparently, but suggesting you mishandled Taiwan because we want Taiwan back. That could lead to a dangerous place. In fact, that could lead to conflict directly. Michael Pillsbury with the Heritage Foundation reacting to that remark.
This is the first time I've ever heard a Chinese leader in the foreign ministry issue such a severe warning on Taiwan, that if it's very vague, if it's not handled carefully, then there will be conflict. That's not usually put into the, you know, happy talk at a banquet. Mm-hmm. The American side is totally silent on that issue, on the issue of Taiwan. The other thing that Chinese did is they used a term that's just almost kind of nasty. It's hard to translate. It's called gao huai in Mandarin. Gao huai. Gao means to screw. Huai means bad. I noticed the translation was by the Chinese side when they put it into English. It was don't mess it up. We must not mess it up. Well, that's not quite as strong as what it sounds like in Mandarin.
Yeah, in other words, that's not so polite. And Secretary of State Rubio says what we're doing with China and, of course, the other issue with Iran and Russia, we're trying to show restraint.
My read has been what I think has been for a while, and that is China has a plan. I mean, they clearly view themselves, they believe they will be the world's most powerful country. They'll surpass the United States, and they have a plan to do it. And they're executing on that plan, and I don't blame them. If I were the Chinese government, I'd have the same plan. We, on the other hand, don't view it that way, and we don't want to see anything. We're not trying to constrain China, but their rise cannot come at our expense. Their rise cannot come at our fall. So there's an area where we're just going to have a difference of opinion. But my view of them and of the government in China is they're very confident. They have a plan, and they're trying to execute on that plan. which is fine. I understand that from a nation state perspective. But when that plan is in conflict with the national interest of the United States, we need to do what's right for the United States. And that'll come up on this trip. But more importantly, that'll be a feature of this relationship for a long time.
And that is what we're trying to achieve. And of course, in the meantime, we still have the issue with Iran. They allowed a Chinese flagged tanker to go through the strait. But they've used a swarm of their small, highly mobile armed speedboats with missiles, rockets, and so forth to overwhelm other vessels trying to go through the strait. And the other thing to keep in mind, as Rubio points out, we have to worry about their nuclear capability and what they're trying to do with the strait and controlling global trade. But they have another weapon that they're quickly escalating.
Every president in the last 20 years has been worried about the Iran nuclear program. Obama did a nuclear deal with them because he was worried about it. Not a good nuclear deal, but he made one. The president reversed it and imposed crippling sanctions and took out Soleimani, who was a threat to the United States. Joe Biden was begging to get back into a nuclear deal with them. The whole world, you know, the French, the Germans, the UK, they imposed new sanctions on Iran last year, snapback sanctions, because of the nuclear threat. The whole world has seen Iran was building up a conventional capability where they would have so many missiles and so many drones that they could overwhelm anybody's defenses. Once they had that, nobody could do anything about their nuclear program, because they would say, if you attack our nuclear program, we will wipe out six countries in the Gulf region and you won't be able to defend against it. You won't have enough patriots, you know, because you get these swarms of drones, these swarms of rockets. They were on the verge. In a year from now, they would have been at that point. The president said that's an intolerable risk.
And they've already been hitting their Arab neighbors, United Arab Emirates and Bahrain. In the meantime, the Conflict Armament Research Center says that the Houthis, an Iran-backed Yemeni terrorist organization, are quickly rebuilding their weapons using various components. So they don't plan at any time to wave the white flag. Coming up, I want you to hear the writings of a doctor who says, you know, I tested AI regarding a health issue. What happened? That'll be coming up as we move forward. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington, Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. Maguire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, Maguire is a household name because Maguire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend Maguire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. MaguireMoving.com. John Beale Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Bill has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Bill. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, as I was saying, there's a doctor that, a physician and a scientist, publications based on evidence-based medicine, and he writes a Substack titled Live Long and Well with Dr. Bobby, Dr. Bobby DuBois. Now, with those facts in front of you, I want to share one of his pieces he put on his Substack, basically dealing with sensible medicine. So I'm reading directly from him, but adding a few points as we move forward. The doctor said, I wasn't actually sick, but I decided to invent two symptoms, hand pain and a severe headache. And I asked ChatGPT, artificial intelligence, of course, what to do with it. It was an experiment. I wanted to know what happens when a real person with what feels like a real problem turns to AI for help. Interesting presentation, right? Let's test it. Let's see what it does. And he says, in both cases, I got a list. What I never got was a question. The AI never once asked my age, how the symptoms started. My hand pain, he adds, began after hitting it with a sledgehammer. That's what he wrote. I don't know if he did or didn't, but that's what he said. Or whether I'd experienced anything like it before. I had to volunteer all of that myself. And when I did, the answers did improve considerably. When I didn't, one response suggested, these are the words of the doctor in his piece. One response suggested I lied down in a dark room because I might have a cerebral hemorrhage. That's what artificial intelligence was advising the doctor because he said, well, I have a head pain. And here's the point that he makes, and I think this is going to be critical with everything. It goes back to the days when computers were first coming into play. And remember, we had the punch cards and everything else. You had to enter. It was then said, and I still believe it true, junk in, junk out. And in this case, nothing solid of particular specifics in, and you're not going to get anything back. If you put specifics in, you still might not get anything back. And he adds, AI knows medicine. That's not the problem. He said, the first question to ask is whether AI has sufficient medical knowledge to be useful. He said, the evidence strongly suggests the answer is yes. A 2023 study evaluating ChatGPT across all three parts of the standard physician licensing exam and found it generally passed somewhere between 52 and 75%. The passing threshold, about 60%. It kind of reminds me of that joke, right? What do you call the doctor who graduated at the bottom of his class? Doctor. He went on to say, more recent testing of 8 current AI models put diagnostic accuracy at nearly 90%. So again, he continues in his article. So the raw knowledge is there. The problem is what happens when that knowledge means a real person describing a real symptom in incomplete, ambiguous language. And don't, by the way, let me add here, don't even begin to ask how would treat your dog or your pet with some pain, because I have always said, I do believe vets probably are so skilled because the animal cannot tell them a thing about what hurts unless they have a talking animal, a talking horse, of course, Dr. Ed, or sorry, Mr. Ed. He goes on and says, a doctor who aces the board exams can still make wrong clinical decisions when a patient sits in front of them with a muddled history. He said the same is true, perhaps more so for AI. And he said when real people use AI, the evidence is sobering. He points to a study in Nature Medicine this year that tested exactly that point. Researchers created 10 clinical scenarios, had about 1,300 people interact with AI platforms to determine what to do. The result, AI provided correct triage guidance only about 43% of the time. It also performed no better than a standard Google search. My eye is red. What should I do? Search that in Google, you might get one answer. Supposedly AI, the same thing. Quit rubbing it. Quit drinking so late at night. Whatever. And he had, and I added those points. That's not part of his article. I'll restate that. But he said, why did we have that failure we did? He said, users provide only partial information. They don't know what to include. And the AI didn't ask. In 16 of 30 sampled interactions, the initial message contained only incomplete details. The AI filled in the gaps, but not the reliability. He says there was a second study published in 2026, earlier this year, testing ChatGPT Health on 60 clinical vignettes across 21 medical areas. Unlike the actor study, researchers entered complete information, no missing details. And even so, the AI correctly triaged only 35% of non-urgent cases, 48% of urgent cases. He said the AI knew the facts, but it failed on the judgment, as he found that this is worth noting. The vignette sometimes included what a friend or family member thought about the situation. For example, my husband thinks it's probably a muscle strain. And he said that context information then influenced what AI recommended. It downweighted urgency based on a layperson's offhand opinion. He said this is a well-known AI tendency called sycophancy, I should say. It tends to agree with what the user seems to believe. He says a skilled clinician tries to quiet this clinical noise and these biases. I've heard from doctors repeatedly how many times patients come in, they've seen these ads on TV, and they say, I need this, this is what I got, and that's what I need. And they're not going to leave until they get it, or they end up going to another doctor. The doctor says, you don't need it. This doctor in his report continues saying, we're all familiar with cognitive bias, confirmation bias, the halo effect, recency bias, distorting human judgment. It turns out it can exist in the computer as well. Said in this study, it drifted toward whatever the user seemed to believe rather than reasoning independently from the evidence. Now, those are all negative hits against AI on health. And he said this, none of this means AI has no place in healthcare. There are specific situations where it performs reliably and adds real value. He said a family member of mine saw a specialist who delivered more information than he could absorb. He recorded the visit with permission, converted it to a transcript, asked AI to present it in a readable summary, and it worked well. He said on a related topic, a recent study found that physician-written notes outperformed AI-generated notes on accuracy, thoughtfulness, and usefulness. He said, if your doctor uses AI for documentation, ask whether they review it carefully. AI notes should be treated as drafts, not final versions. He said, it can help translate lab results, imaging reports, and other things. This is a low-stakes, high-value area where it performs consistently well. He said, in my own testing, AI stopped offering generic responses and started gathering the kind of information a clinician would need when I wrote in, before you respond, please ask me all the questions you need to give me accurate information about my situation. And he said AI did do that to that extent. And again, he concludes, AI has the clinical knowledge, the reasoning, especially under uncertainty and with complete information, is not necessarily there. Kind of reminds me of my doctor some time ago said, I'm going to take you off this. I don't think you need to take that. I said, why? And he said, well, a man of your age. I said, stop it right there. Where's your bedside manner? Why are you saying a man of my age? Why don't you say a man of my maturity? He laughed and said, this is what I'm saying you should do. Yes, doctor, thank you. Coming up, Whoopi Goldberg going wall to wall with an issue that is nonsensical. But I want you to hear it because it is so far out. And CNN trying to attack all Trump social posts and fails.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light.
Roxanne.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We have been deballed as a nation, I feel.
It because feels very we are nationalist.
I thought my description was
deballed is lovely.
Yes,
I just
it was
didn't know
just
if you meant
clear.
Castrated.
Yeah, well it's the same thing.
Okay.
I don't have them, but I know it's the same thing.
Oh. Yeah.
But the idea that no one is in charge freaks me out.
Yeah. I think America still has its basketballs. I just think we have some very struggling leaders right now, and
did
we deserve better.
There's Sonny Hostin suddenly taking Whoopi's remarks and talking about basketballs. And did you hear Whoopi say, we have been deballed, but not that I have any. Yeah. TMI? I don't know. It's clearly TDS. That's exactly what's going on there. You know that. I know that. Now, I'm sure so many of you make a point never, never, never to miss an episode of The View, right? Right. But here's Whoopi saying, we're rudderless. We have no leadership right now. Did she ever one time suggest that during the Biden presidency, certainly within the last, let's say 6 months? The last 6 weeks, much less the entire Biden presidency, never crossed her mind. We were all balled up, I guess, at that point, huh? She also added, we're in the middle of so many different confrontations, and we have people I just have no faith. I have no faith in Cash Patel. I have no faith in Pete Hegseth. I have no faith in the people running anything. I don't believe in anybody running this country right now. And that's what makes me nervous. It's like, well, okay, well, who's going to take the responsibility? Let you know the CDC right now. No one is running the CDC. Well, how well did it run under Dr. Fake and the rest of them? I would ask. And here she says, and we talked about this earlier, we have this potential virus. She's talking about the Hantavirus. We have this potential virus, and they keep saying, no, there's nothing to worry about. It's like, I don't want to hear that from you because you don't know if there's nothing to worry about. And Sonny then added, especially now that we're not involved with the World Health Organization. And that's when Whoopi Goldberg went off on her, we've been deballed as a nation, I feel. And Halston added, we're isolationists. And one of the other panel members said, castrated? Goldberg said, it's the same thing. I don't have them, but I know it's the same thing. But here's, when you stop and if you actually, I know you got better things to do with your time. Apparently I don't. So I'm breaking this down for you. She is already trying to take the lead, as Governor Hochul did previously, talking about We're going to get our state ready for this hantavirus. We don't know how big this is going to get. Stand back. We don't know. Let me help you understand something. This is passed along by deer mice, by their excretions, their saliva, their urine. You come in contact with any of that or anything where they left some of that, you might well come down with it. And it's very prevalent and has been for decades, more than decades, in our nation. But there was a 20-year study, and less than 700 came down with hantavirus. And already they're saying, oh, to quote Whoopi again, we have this potential virus. Well, it's not a potential virus. It does exist. But they're trying to ring the alarm bells. The sky is falling. You got to be ready for this next lockdown. No, we will not be ready. Again, we will not comply. This all took place involving folks on a cruise ship. And I think the final count was 3 dead, maybe now 4. 7 to 9 came down with it. And there were some Americans on board. And they were checked before they left the ship. And then they were sent to Nebraska, where we have a quarantine center, where they were checked over again. And then probably sent on to their homes, maybe with some supervised care. But if they were really carrying the hantavirus, they were probably treated in additional ways. We don't have all the details of that because it's their health history. But if you're going to look at history at all, you have to recognize this has been around forever. This is nothing new. The Wuhan virus, weaponized by the Chinese with the help of Dr. Fauci fake, that was an entirely different event. Oh, by the way, if you're a fan of Billy Bob Thornton, especially from his latest TV series, Landman, let me share this with you, since you probably don't watch The View. He was recently on there, and how did they got into a discussion about politics at some point on it? There was a reference, I believe, by Billy Bob Thornton when he was on the Howie Mandel Does Stuff podcast, where he criticized entertainers for speaking out on politics and cited comedian Ricky Gervais several years ago, advised actors, get your little award and F off. And Thornton told Mandel at the time, I don't know anything about politics. I have no idea. And the stuff that I do believe, I don't want to force it down someone else's throat because I'm not an expert. That's common sense. But they showed a clip of that interview on the host, the ABC, The View program. And then Joy Behar called Thornton stupid. Imagine bragging about how uninformed you are. May I add, how stupid you are to act like you are informed, Behar. And panel member Sonny Holston added, we're at a crisis point in this country. I think democracy is participating. Boy, you need a professional for this. Participatory. She went on to saying, I think when you have a platform, that means I have an outsized voice. And when you have a platform, I think you have a responsibility to speak up about what's going on. And I view silence as complicity. So they're criticizing Billy Bob Thornton because he said, I don't want to get into politics. I go along with Ricky Gervais when he said, take your award and then F off. One of the other hosts had criticized Clooney for his political activism when he asked for Joe Biden to step down. adding that a lot of people at this table on The View criticized Clooney when he wrote his Biden co-op op-ed, I should say. A celebrity using his voice, saying what he believes. It just can't be when they agree with your position. Behar responded, free speech is needed to criticize Thornton. Billy Bob. Now, there is within there a fact. If you see something wrong and you don't call it out, and I'm not talking about political differences, I'm talking about something absolutely wrong, like a fraud, case of fraud, a crime, your silence is making you complicit, maybe even an accessory. And on that point, Vice President Vance, who's head of the task force to eliminate fraud, announced yesterday that the government is deferring $1.3 billion in Medicaid reimbursements from California because it failed to take fraud, quote, very seriously. $1.3 billion in Medicaid reimbursements. Now, a lot of the folks that live in California, they have Medicaid coming and are legitimately eligible for it. That money was being stolen from them as well. And those behind them that would be qualified. Vance added, so there are California taxpayers and American taxpayers are being defrauded because California is not taking its program seriously. But you also have people who have been prescribed medications they don't even need. Sometimes they put drugs into their bodies that they don't need because fraudsters actually encouraged false prescription and false administrations of medicine. So think about this, he added. You're the person trying to go see a doctor. You assume your doctor is doing the right thing, but these fraudulent healthcare providers are getting rich by giving people medications they don't even need. It's a defrauding of the American taxpayer. I've been looking over a case. I've been getting billing on something that I keep questioning. I don't ever requesting that. I don't know why you think you sent it to me. If you sent it to me, I never got it. And I just keep tossing the bills. And now the billing notices are getting a little more urgent. Pay, pay, pay. I am not going to get into details of what it is, but the bottom line is, I did have an issue, it got taken care of, and then I stopped it. They're now tracking, supposedly, that I've been getting treatment for it over this last year. I have not. I'm just short of contacting my doctor, much less the company, and saying, I think somebody's trying to pull a little fraud here over the government. So far, I have not paid, and right now I don't plan on, unless it can be proven that Larry, you're wrong. You did get that treatment, and you do owe it. Of course, when I first started, I was told Medicare and your supplemental insurance will cover all of it anyway. Medicaid as well. I don't know what the truth is, but right now I'm not writing a damn check. I'll put it that way. Trump hasn't posted anything lately on Truth Social that causes a lot of consternation. But when he does, sometimes it can be good, it can be bad, it can be ugly, it can just be just interesting, entertaining, or just so what again. Well, CNN decided, Erin Burnett decided to attack any and all remarks he has posted. But she did it in a way her effort turned out to be stupid.
I'm old enough to remember in the first administration when here at CNN, I was working on several documentaries and we couldn't get any of them on the air done. You want to know why? Because Trump kept tweeting. And every time Trump tweeted, people talked about it. And sure. Now he posts pictures of people swimming in sewage and himself on $100 bills. And nobody even notices.
Right.
Okay. That's another weird thing about this. Nobody's even watching all this.
Well, wait a minute. You went through all that to talk about his postings and what they're doing, and it kept interfering, and nobody's watching and paying attention. Obviously, they are. You guys have been. Again, it's just anything we can to try to knock Trump down a notch or two. You don't like Trump, that's fine. That you're entitled to that. But try to stick to facts. Can you do that? Here's a fact from Washington State. This guy's family founded a company back in 1977 in the state of Washington. He said, we are now leaving. The cost of power, the cost of insurance, everything is increasing, not just by 1 or 2%. My insurance went up 20%. So he's going to relocate his business camshaft somewhere else. He said, we got crime running rampant in the state of Washington. Yeah, the FBI report shows that Seattle, Washington ranked fourth out of the 30th largest U.S. cities for crime. It is, of course, a blue state with blue ideas that will destroy that state. He said, a few years ago, I should have sold it then. Sold the building when people were buying and moving elsewhere. Now we got a ton of buildings up for sale on the market. Everyone is leaving the state of Washington. The company makes and repairs camshafts for various uses, but is not going to do it anymore in Washington State, even though they founded it in 1977. Basically, you drove us out of here. Those employed by the company, maybe they'll be on the move and continue to keep their jobs, or they cannot move or won't move. That's blue politics for you. Please join us again tomorrow. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.